Blog Talk Radio.
Your eyes are like weapons, your lips could teach lessons. Don't use them so reckless, 'cause for you I'm helpless. You gotta take caution, you know that I'm all in. The chance of me falling, you know that it's softened. But if you don't wanna stay, then please stop moving this way. You're starting up a wildfire in my heart. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do. You're starting up a wildfire in my head. Hope it's what you paint, not just what you do. This love is so constant, it's killing me softly. Don't know what to call it, this thing that you started. You make it look easy, the way that you leave me. Into the fire, babe, are you coming with me, yeah? If you don't wanna stay, please stop moving this way. You're starting up a wildfire in my heart. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do. You're starting up a wildfire in my head. Hope it's what you need, not just what you do. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do.
Hello, world, and happy Wednesday to you all. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to The Art of Seduction. This is a late-night poets production, and we are a group on allpoetry.com. We also have anthologies available on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out as they help support the arts. They help support these shows, a.k.a. the arts. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildove and myself ran, and it's a quote contest. It says, "How was I to know that this tiny spark would spread like wildfires?" And so that's the quote. It's by N.R. Hart. And, so that's tonight's show. Okay, so I'm going to go to the phone lines here. And welcome Sir Laurent to the show. Hello, Laurent.
Good evening, Gray. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you?
Not too bad. Ready for some poetry.
Awesome. And, I posted the first link, if you wouldn't mind reading that.
All right. This is called Passions by Samit Shiba. The song of nightingale aroused my melancholy, and the candles were like tips of lances. My longing is like one who has been exiled from paradise, falling in the languor of captivity. Through love, we surrender all strength and power when a tiny spark spreads like wildfires stirring burning passions. Igniting strong flames between two lovers, and the universe became ours when we existed in each other. How was I to know, when fate brought us together, that loving never ends, nor its blazing glow diminish? End poem.
No, that was an excellent read, Laurent. And, this is a beautiful poem. I really like the opening stanza of the song of Nightingale aroused my melancholy, and the candles were like tips of lances. You know, it's just brutal when you're alone, and you know, the candles are tips of lances. Just a haunting, right? Really, my longing is like one who has never been who has been exiled from paradise, falling in a languor of captivity. It's just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Lauren?
I like the way she began with a song of a nightingale, arousing her melancholy. I can't say I can clearly recall what a nightingale sounds like, but it may have a mournful call, or a call filled with longing, or another emotion that one can really recognize and relate to. But it's a great way to start. In number three, through love we surrender all strength and power. And it's true to an extent, because we surrender ourselves. We surrender to the need to be open, I think, the other person. For true love to actually work and succeed, I think you have to be entirely and completely open. And once you are open and a little spark is there, it will spread like wildfire. So I thought she did a terrific job paying attention to the quote, yet delivering a really nice poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. Okay, so I'm going to bring Bobby on to the show. Hi, Bobby. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you.
How are you tonight?
How formal, Bobby. How formal.
I'm splendid. Thank you for asking.
Well, that's great. Glad to hear you. Okay, I've got one more caller to bring on. Area code 661, who's calling, please?
Naomi. Hello.
Hi, Naomi. How are you?
I'm fine. Sore throat tonight, so I won't stay on the whole show, but you can hear what in my voice. Yeah, I got this real sore throat when I woke up this morning. I don't know what's the matter. I'm never sick, so I'm a little frustrated.
Well, it's sorry to hear that. Okay, I'm going to post the next link. And if you wouldn't mind, please reading this, Bobby.
Not at all. Okay, we have Martyr by Linda M.B. This year there are no fires in the bush, long extinguished by precocious rain and lack of desiccated timber left to burn. You will find the fire cast flames in other places, tiny golden flickers deep behind the gray-green of my eyes, exposed by anguish plumes of ivory smoke that drift like downy feathers through my parted swollen lips, blistering yellow heat, slowly stoked, teased with kindling that you've gathered, my feet. You have lashed me to the stake with empty promises and bitter kisses, bound me with ropes I brought to you by eager, blameless hands, hands that taught you how to tie the tightest knots, how to strike the match, fan each reluctant spark, feed the hunger ochre blaze that twitches, leaps like frantic, molten fingers. They flay me. I a torch, a light, pleasure rises red, crackles, spits, laughs as mad. Do not douse this wild divine inferno. Let it rage, consume my all, me to ashes turn. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, that's a powerful poem on the subject of giving yourself freely to be set ablaze, you know. The passion that resides in those flames is so powerful that you're willing to let yourself go to ash I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Lauren? Hello, Lauren.
Yeah, I'm making love to the mute button over here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I like the way she begins with no fire is in the bush due to precocious rain and lack of desiccated timber, but points out the location for the other flames, the fiercest flames in other places, tiny golden flickers deep behind the gray-green of my eyes exposed, and begins to draw the full analogy, the full metaphor between the external physical fires that are not around, but the ample kindling gathered and the fire that is within. I like it a great deal, especially the end. Do not douse this wild divine inferno. Let it rage, consume my all, me to ashes, turn. Very nicely done.
Great comment, Lawrence. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think of the rain?
No, I always love Linda's rites. Yeah, this starts out, you know, so nonchalant. I don't know if you can say that in French, but nonchalant. You know, in the beginning this year, there are no fires in the bush, and you know, and it grows in intensity, and you know, down to powerful words like they strike and then the spark and then leap and frantic and flay and torch and crackle spits mad you know, wild, the divine inferno, rage, consume. You know, right down to ashes. So it grows in intensity, you know, just like, you know, like her pleasure does in this. And, you know, that's just, I thought this, that was just brilliant within this rite. So a great, amazing rite here, Linda. And I love her formatting, you know, it emphasizes certain words that stick out, you know, that when you read it, just a brilliant write.
Thank you, Naomi. That was a wonderful comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was an exquisite write. I like the extended metaphor likening the natural wildfire to the blazing inferno of attraction, passion, and love. With kindling that you've gathered a higher place beneath my feet, you have lashed me to the stake with empty promises and bitter kisses, bound me with ropes. I brought to you with eager, blameless hands, hands that taught you how to tie the tightest knots, how to strike the match, fan each reluctant spark. This is a really splendid rite. I've tucked this into my romantic favorites, but I really love the visual imagery, the passion. It's a very powerful piece, and I agree that the ending, the way it is broken up, the emphasis placed on different words, it is a really quite a visual rite. Very, really, really well done.
Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. Okay, so I've got Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud.
Wildfire by Martha Gettle. It only took just one look, one spark, that's all it took, and you lit a fire in me. That fire is still burning free. I feel it when I look in your eyes. I feel that flame lift and rise. And with your hands on my skin, it becomes a wildfire again. So baby, touch me like you did then. Let the fire rage out of control again. All that I need is your hand in mine, and I'll burn like a wildfire for all time. I have never felt like I felt with you. No other man ever blew my fuse. No other man ever set me on fire and left me burning in rage and desire. So baby, touch me like you did then. Let the fire rage out of control again. All that I need is your hand in mine, and I'll burn like a wildfire for all time. This wildfire we share, me and you, is all we need to see us through. So light my fire, let it blaze. With you I'm constantly amazed.
That was beautifully done. I really like that. The flow was excellent. You know, her singing was great. And, you can feel the passion inside these lines with her, right? Just excellent, right? What did you think, Lauren?
I agree with you. The flow, and this is very good. It's very smooth. And I've always praised her lyrics. And I especially like the lyrics in the fourth stanza. I've never felt like I feel with you. No other man ever blew my fuse. No other man ever set me on fire and left me burning in raging desire. The tempo through there is exceptionally good, and I'd like the whole piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Bobby, what did you think?
I'm always impressed always with Martha's her compositions. She's a great storyteller. I mean, she's almost folk-like in the way she renders tales, and her flow is great. Her verse is so approachable, so very human. There's nothing. Word I'm looking for. There's nothing superficial about it. It's very, always very heartfelt, and that's what makes it such an enjoyable listen for me.
Absolutely, thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, I agree with Bobby. The way she comes up with these lyrics, like one after another. It's just, it blows my mind, how fast she can write and she can compose, and they're all so, amazing, in rhythm and flow and the lines, it's just, and I appreciate, like, so baby, come touch me like you did then. You know, there's rekindling. She's asking to be rekindled in this, And all that I need is your hand in mine. That is such a beautiful line there. All I need is your hand in mine. Just come and take my hand and we'll go. And, it's a very, very passionate, right, but that line stuck out to me right there, because it's more like a loving kind of, a line there that just stuck out. But the whole right is just very passionate, like really a blaze here. So bravo, Martha, on this right.
Thank you, Naomi. I'm going to bring on another caller. Area code 346, who's calling, please?
Hey, it's Brittany. Sorry, Confess.
Hi, Confess. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello,
Confess. We have Naomi's recording here, and I'll play this.
Last petal. A single black petal left on a plucked daisy, a delicate type, a fragile beauty. One single silken pure white petal, a spark of hope. You love me. As I feel my name unspoken, in the warm, unwavering gaze of your satiny, saffron eyes, your lips softly whispering promises of pressed kisses, tasting of a surging need. And I transcend into a universe where we lay in a field of crystal sugar dust infused with magic, where stars hold each other in a long, aching night, and raging seas howl to the red, scorched moon in a frenetic embrace under its fiery flame. Closing my eyes, relaxing into a space where exists but you and I, entangled in desire, our bodies enticed in a wanton dance, we move like the smooth flow of sand. Clench me tighter and feel the alluring sway of my hips, the balance of my soft hands roaming over you, your body basking in the abyss of a wet slip. Dip me slowly, losing your mind. Spin me around past the stars. Come into me and taste Venus as you suck my honey-dripped lips. Pull me closer, sinking deeper and deeper of your own free will. Sway to the essence of my erratic heartbeat as it's matching yours, leaving us breathless, craving boreal flames to course through our veins. As wildfire spreads, deep love within the heart, igniting luscious flames aglow, spreading vast from just a spark, till I can't bite my lip. I can't make myself bleed because I only have the taste of you in my mouth, and I only feel you on my tongue, and I only want you in my thoughts, and I can't take you off my mind.
Oh, that was a beautiful read, Naomi, and such a touching poem filled with love, that reverence, devotion. It's ethereal and natural. You can see all this as it happens with the where I transcend into a universe where we lay in a field of crystal sugar dust infused with magic, where stars hold each other in a long aching night, and raging seas howl as the red scorched moon to the red scorched moon in a frenetic embrace under its fiery flame. Now, just fabulous imagery. And I love the emotional content to it as well. You can feel all the love that you have for this person and the desire that just spreads like wildfire. Beautifully done, Naomi. What did you think, Lauren?
I have to say, Gray, that you have good taste because you took exactly the stanza that I was going to quote. And, you know, it's a long quote, perhaps, but I felt the emotion and the beauty in it so strongly. There's a palpable sense of love and passion, and it's gentle passion in the write and in the read. There's no sense of frantic coupling, but something deeper and more permanent. And I absolutely love the read. Nice job.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for it. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh my goodness. This was a splendid ride. It was very passionate, very intense, very powerful piece. But like Laurent said, it is not a frenzied coupling. This is a melding. This is an embracing of spirits and souls. But it is so subtly sensual that I almost found myself reaching for a cigarette. And I don't smoke.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment.
Bobby.
And Confess, what did you think? Hello, Confess?
Sorry, I was on mute. Okay. I was saying that I was blown away by how sensual it was. I wasn't ready for this from Naomi, but it was very great. I love the way how her voice was and how yearning it sounded, of like satisfaction. My favorite stanza here was, "The pull me closer, thinking deeper and deeper of my own free will, swaying to the essence of my erratic heartbeat." I just thought that was the great writing and great imagery. I think she really did great with the sensual side of this write. Very good, Martha. I'm sorry, Naomi.
Thank you, Confess.
Thank you, Confess. Okay, I have your write-up, Confess, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. Okay, this one's called Pyro Lover. I was trying to go off this quote, the prompt, where it says, "How was I to know that this tiny spark would spread like wildfires?" All right. "No jealous quarrel brought these flames. See, I had to have been inebriated. My lover sat back confused in a mussed-up sweatshirt. I had no regret. All his fortune sat there, right in the midst of ash, laying there in ruins at night. However, in the night, I drank all my whiskey, which is how I invoked these flames. All of our love fell desecrated in the ash. He yelled at me. He hates that I might be inebriated. It's like he wants me to look at him with regret. Refusing to see the truth, he continues to play confused. Why do you say these things, he said. I am not confused. I heard you. Right there, he pointed. Tonight. All this moaning and groaning, I still have no regret. He sees the fire. He watches the flames. I quivered from my fallacious smell. And yes, I think I'm inebriated. Walking back and forth on the ash, I hear sirens from afar. Should I hide this ash? Pestering Patrick covers me. I perform. I'm confused. I couldn't soothe these blue uniform maniacs. They too could see I was inebriated. More cloudiness haunts my fears of chains and becoming kettle every night. They impel me towards the floor where they saw the flames. It was right then when I finally had an ounce of regret. I lied to those blue boys. They could see my eyes full of regret. They could see the disgusting ass. They could see the flames. They could see I was confused that night because I was inebriated. People say it's an excuse to do things when you're inebriated. Maybe they're right, but I still have a hard time with regret. He deserved everything I did last night. He deserves to swallow, breathe, and blind himself from that ash. Don't be confused. No jealous quarrel brought those flames. For the night boiled down with ash, being inebriated was just the start of this regret, and the flames were a representation. Just don't be confused." End poem.
Wow. Can you read your author's notes, please?
Yes. Sorry for such a long poem, is what it says. I literally been aching to write a Sistina, and I wrote about a time when I was dating someone who got dumb, and I got dumb drunk, and I set his house on fire, and we got into an argument earlier today about his ex, and he assumed that since we had the argument about it, that's why I set his house on fire, which I truly didn't mean to do it on purpose, hence why I kept repeating, don't be confused, it's not over, this, it's just because I was drunk, it was just that. But this is a true story, too, by the way. I was back in my very drunk, crazy days. Yeah, this happened.
Wow.
Not proud, but that's my confession.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a powerful poem, you know. My lover's not back confused. My mucked up sweetheart. Her sweatshirt, I had no regret. All his fortune sat there right in the midst of ash, laying there in ruins at night. You can just picture all this as you read it, and I thought it was just excellently conveyed, your point in the scene, and I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, like I said, it was very entertaining, and almost, I mean, it's not written in an abstract way, but the way it's written left me a little uncertain in the beginning whether the flames were literal or figurative. And I wasn't entirely sure until I read the AN, but thank you for that. Although, as I read the piece, I did begin to think that the flames were real, but then I thought to myself, well, those could be emotional flames. They had this massive fight, and everything they'd ever wanted from her was... not laying literally in ash, but figuratively. But from what you said, I can see that you you persevered and you set the flames somehow. It is a very entertaining piece. I'm not too sure whether it leaves me feeling happy or sad or both at the same time. And I guess that's a good thing. I thought this was really well done.
Thank you, Lauren. Great comment.
Thank you, Lauren.
And Bob.
I really enjoyed this. I thought it was wonderfully entertaining. Great storytelling. I like that you kept it colloquial, almost a conversational tone, like you're telling this a story to a friend, which made it all the more engaging for me because I felt like you were relaying it to me personally. I also was a bit confused at the beginning. Or were the flames metaphor for something else, or were we talking an actual conflagration somewhere, and to try to incinerate someone? But I really enjoyed that you let that go all the way down to the bottom and actually explained it in the author's note, because I think it makes the reader really look into the piece. And then, okay, is this flame actual? Is this emotional? What is it? But I really truly enjoyed it, and I didn't think it was too long. You told the story well. There wasn't a moment in there where I thought, God, isn't this thing over yet? Oh, really? I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the flames are metaphorical and literal at the same time. So you guys are spot on with it's still metaphorical. A lot of it's still metaphorical, but a lot of it did really happen. I had a very abusive relationship. I mean, I have a lot of poems that talks about it. If you ever see it. Oh, yeah, because I remember last week, I think this was Grace, was like, I don't think we could play this poem. It's a little too abusive here. And I'm like, I don't want you guys thinking that all my poems are about my abuse, but... Yeah, I lived a long life with it, so unfortunately. So, yeah, I've written a lot about that time, so that's one of the times, unfortunately, that has happened.
Well, some people have what's coming to them, that's for sure. But, yeah, excellent read. So I'm going to post the next poem here, and this is by Intimidus Rex. It's called Swan Diving is to note mist, open brawly rain. Strangle me with those sounds of rustling thighs rusty, unstubbled proses, chinny chin chin, that third rail tongue, but a frozen effigy tied to her lamppost origins. Cenote, dimly. Lit in the heat of desert throats, where the taste of pungent cacti flowers are opium blooms packed inside that hookah bowl. A smoke, those wispy ostrich plumes, feathering flushed flesh, as dusted palms sway upon warm sands trod, plunging in an oasis, cold blue to risen moon, whose cheeky grin was soft in that saddled slipknot. Gaze, starlit and dewy, where cherry lips puffed a blunt white Russian tinge, drawn crossed a tongue rich in her flavored forage, raining elemental, and raining in rain, sprinkling upon that open brawly, as lightning boiled, fierce in their grounding. End poem. But, yeah, that was a beautiful poem. I really like his language choice in this, you know, that third rail tongue, but a frozen effigy tied to her lamppost origins, cenote dimly. That is a fantastic write. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, where cherry lips puff the blunts, white Russian tinge drawn across the tongue, rich in her flavored forage, raining elemental, and raining in, rain sprinkling upon that open brawly, as lightning boiled fierce in the grounding. You know, he uses the word elemental, but there are times when I think his poetry is a force, elemental. And after reading this, I'm sure of it. It's breathtaking in its style, in the language used, which is quite sophisticated, and in the way that the piece can be interpreted. It's a superior write, and certainly one I'm very jealous of. He is a hell of a writer.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Lawrence. That was a great comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed this thoroughly. I agree. It's also a superlative write. The thing I like about Rex's writing is he does use abstractions and metaphors, but I don't find myself tangled or lost in them. For some reason, I don't know why, I can read his work and understand his intent and the picture he's painting. It comes through quite clearly to me. And lit in the heat of desert throats, where the taste of pungent cacti flowers are opium blooms packed inside that hookah bowl of smoke. And I like the way his creative way of truncating and abbreviating certain words. It's almost a conversational tone. So I like his style, and I like it very much.
Fabulous comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, nobody noticed that this poem, if you look at it, the formatting of it is a lovely form of a woman. Do you notice that?
No, I didn't until you mentioned it.
Looked like smoke to me.
Oh, it's a lovely form of a woman, like in a long dress, you know, like you see her middle there. And her curves, her head, her neck, her breasts, and then, you know, her waist there, and, you know, her knees are bent a bit and comes down onto the floor. It spills down onto the floor. So that's amazing, that form right there. And I love, like you all said, Rex is uniquely Rex, you know, in his writing and the way Yeah, the way he writes, the way it's so powerful. It's so intriguing. You know, every time you see a write from him, you know, and he uses the most outrageously brilliant metaphors throughout his poetry that I've ever seen. So just a brilliant, brilliant piece here, Rex.
Oh, fantastic comment. Thank you, Naomi. And confess, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was the way he had his words, his word choices, reminded me of like Jabberwocky, how Lewis Carroll kind of introduced us to new words, and you're like, what the heck is that nonsensical kind of writing sometimes? And you're like, what are you talking about with this onomatopoeia, this chinny chin chin, this tongue? It was like usage of language here that kind of brought me back, and I was just thinking like, wow. I think we were talking about this on the show last week, how I don't know, was it this week or last week? Either way, me and Pam were both saying, or I think it was Naomi, we were saying how it's kind of hard trying to find this format in writing, I call it the crank writing, you know, how it's like the lines are all over the place, but you can kind of follow it. It's like a sway here. It's not too crazy in this one, but that's what it always reminds me of when I see that type of format in writing. But that was kind of my take on it.
Cool. Great take. Okay, Laura, you're up if you don't mind.
All right. This is called She, After All, Wins. Profound need stirs, dormancy disturbed, awakens a careful breath, delivered by soft purse of his lips, skillfully husbands the faint glow of neural points deep within her quiescent skin. Much exists to inflame rolling hills and birdsong valleys, undulating in peaceful respiration. Forests and dark caves present in situ paths delving into faint echoes of satisfaction. Her rose is enfolded, faint tracery of petal blush deepens, dawning stimulus arcs green eyes open under the curling red of her tumbled mane. Emerald sparks, red blossoms, fire is lit, leaping flames consume in the awareness of fuel raised high, bundled, positioned for use in a vertical upthrust fertility tribute to man's earliest carvings. Man, who wields his ardor with the alacrity of a sword, cuts clean through Gordian knots, cleaving crossed obstructions in twain. Vanquished weeps in glorious surrender, a warrior rewarding her victor with the pleasure of capitulation to the roaring wildfires of sin and abandon. She, after all, wins, leaving him weaponless, spent, soft machine in need of redemption. End poem.
Well, it was just insanely passionate and powerful. Your language choice is spot on. Her rose is enfolded, faint tracery of petal blush deepens, dawning stimulus's arc, green eyes open under the curling red of her tumbled mane. You know, you can see her coming alive and opening her green eyes beneath her red tumbled mane. Just fabulous imagery, Lauren. But emerald sparks, red blossoms, fires lit, leaping flames consume, and the awareness of fuel raised high, bundled, positioned for use in a vertical upthrust fertility tribute to man's earliest carvings. Just beautiful, fantastic imagery, Lauren. Excellent, right?
Thank you.
And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought this was exquisite. the sensuality, the subtle eroticism of it is so captivating. The storytelling is delicate. It invokes the reader's imagination. It's not a blatant in your face. This is Spellbinder, like something you would expect from Scheherazade, to tell a tale and to engage the reader or the listener in such that they become part of the story.
Thank you, Bobby.
Absolutely. Excellent comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
This is beautiful. I mean, you know, the stanzas there, those the three stanzas. No, one, two, the three, four, five, fifth stanza all the way down. It starts with rolling hills and bird song valleys, undulating and peaceful respiration, forests and dark caves present in situ, past delving the faint echoes, satisfaction. Oh my goodness, I mean, the next one to the others, you'll find it there. This is so beautiful. Just beautifully written around here. Oh, wow, the imagery is so captivating. Just an amazing write.
Bonjour, merci, Naomi.
Bienvenue. C'est très, très magnifique.
Thank you. Beautiful comment, Naomi. And Confess, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good, I was like, you're the same prompt, but look at that. It was so much opposite of the sparks that were flying, you know. But I thought it was beautiful, definitely beautifully written. I even told him my favorite line here was the second to last stanza, the banquet sweet and glorious surrender, a warrior rewarding her victor with the pleasure of capitulation. To the roaring wildfires of sin and abandon. I just thought that was such a great, classy way to talk about love and to talk about, you know, if we're talking about sex here, any kind of sensuality that you wouldn't even known if he didn't put it like in author's notes that it had any sex or lust in here. This is just a lovely love type of poem. I would definitely want my lover or my husband or someone send me on Valentine's Day. I just thought it was just so beautiful and beautifully written. So good job, Laurent.
Thank you for such a lovely comment. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a great comment. And, okay, Naomi, I have the next write up if you don't mind, please.
Okay. Your eyes glitter. A bonfire is lit from a little cinder, still hiding behind the ashes of coal. Slowly warmth spreads hot flame past the nerves, blood vessels warmed, sounds of dry twigs succumbed to fire, sparks fly in the air, fall as charcoal dust, your tender tent. Fingers creep over. We watch fireflies sketching patterns in darkness. Far away in the galaxies, constellations rotate, throwing away a little star. Your eyes glitter. And poem. Wow.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And that was a beautiful write. You can feel the gentle sensuality to it. Sparks fly in air, fall as charcoal dust, your tender teased fingers creep over. We watched fireflies sketching patterns in the darkness. I mean, you can see all that imagery. But I really like the way you close it out with your eyes glitter It's beautiful. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, again, we share the common taste, I think. We watched fireflies setting patterns in darkness, parlay in the galaxies, constellations rotate, throwing away little stars. Your eyes glitter. The image of constellations rotating, and as they rotate in that great circle, throwing away little stars combined with your eyes glitter, brings the reader from the smallness, perhaps, of the campfire they're sitting around, to a vast universe where almost anything can happen. This is not a long poem, but it's got an awful lot to say. And I haven't read much from Rangarath lately, but this is an exceptionally good one. I really like it.
Thank you, Lauren. Wonderful comment. And Bobby, what did you think? Hello, Bobby.
You monster.
Yes, I was being brilliant too, damn it. Hate it when that happens. I agree with Laurent. I think this is a beautiful piece, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Bobby. And confess, what did you think?
Yeah, I also thought it was very beautiful, and I like the last stanza as well. Like Laurent said, it's far away in the galaxy, the constellations rotate, throwing away little stars, your eyes glitter. To compare her eyes to the galaxies and constellations, I feel like it's a really good compliment, you know? I want someone telling me my eyes look like, you know, the stars above, tell me how beautiful I am. I think everyone wants a good compliment here and there from their partner. Like, words of affirmation are awesome. You know, even if that's not your true love language, I feel like everyone likes a big boost to their self-esteem. Even if you have really good self-esteem, I think everyone likes that. So this is another one of those poems where I like to post on my desk at work, like, look what my husband
to me,
you know, so this is beautiful.
Thank you, Confess. Great comment. Okay, Bobby, I posted yours, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, no, I figure the theme is incendiary tonight, so I thought I'd throw this one in there. Let love burn it down. I'm in a dark place, locked away, but not alone. I have the music with me, and I want to stay. It lets me feel the emotion roiling inside me like lava. I stay here, and it comforts me. I know what to expect, and I know you're outside this wall of notes. I can hear you call my name from outside the door of my troubled mind. I've locked myself inside this lonely bastion, and I live inside a tower of endless nights, a prison of my own design. We won't hide from those ghosts and demons haunting the dark corners of my tormented past, but let your love burn this crumbling castle down. The flames of your passionate heart, drive them out, and proclaim there's no force on earth that could keep our souls apart. My mood, like the song, ends as quietly as it began, crescendo apart of a familiar memory, and I know it in an instant when I hear it again. And the song, like my mood, goes unnoticed and passes as background noise by all about me, save you. End poem.
Wow.
This is a vignette of putting out the fire with alcohol.
Yeah. I liked it. You know, it was dark, you know, insightful, with a beautiful pen. What did you think, Lauren?
Wow, this is a lovely piece. Well, lovely. It's lovely and dark, but let me tell you why I think it works. The character begins in a dark place, locked away but not alone. I have the music with me, and I want to stay. That dark place can be a place of comfort, and the music kind of blocks everything else out. Although she is aware of him, I can hear you call my name. You know, she's locked herself inside this lonely bastion a prison of her own design. But she invites his love to burn this crumbling castle down. She invites him, really, to release her from where she is and to join with her. And that's exactly what happens. I move like the song ends as quietly as it began, the crescendo a part of familiar memory. And I'll know it instantly when I hear it again. And the song, like my mood, goes unnoticed and pauses as background noise by all about me, save you. The very voice that was on the outside that she could hear, that she resisted, ends up being the thing that, I guess, emotionally, intellectually saves her. Now, did I hear you say that it had something to do with alcohol, Bobby?
This is a vignette. I did a much longer piece called Putting Out the Fire, or Putting Out a Fire with Alcohol, for a contest. And Gray played it. I have a SoundCloud, and Gray played it last week. I didn't want to throw that on there again because it's already
been...
It's a vignette
of a vignette. Well,
that's
it stands
true.
By
that's
itself.
I submitted my poem for that one.
It stands by itself very nicely. You've got a fine job with this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, what just stood out to me was the music and how music can steer us with, kind of music. It just puts you in that mood, you so brilliantly address that in this light of your Bobby, light and strong like that. The way a song can really take. There's all kinds of other things in this poem, but that's the thing.
Thank you, Naomi. And confess, what did you think?
I too also thought the poem was very beautiful. I think what I always go for is something definitely beautiful. I always feel like Bobby always writes such beautiful poems. I'm trying to go back to the part where I see, I had got off my page, so I'm sorry. All right, so it's the second stanza. I hear you call my name from outside the door of my troubled mind. I've locked myself inside this lonely bastion and live inside my tower of endless nights, a prison of my own design. I thought that was just so beautifully written. I also said that it was dark as well like mine. I was like, well, at least I know I'm not the only person who works on a little dark today. but it was just, I think it was a really great take on this. The prompt itself, I love the title, Let Love Burn It Down. That alone had grabbed me already. I was like, ooh, I can't wait, to read this. I thought you did wonderful, Bobby.
Thank you, especially since it wasn't a contest entry.
I'm like, dang, what contest was that? I should have submitted mine for that one.
Oops, I missed it. I blinked, I missed it.
Yeah, I missed it.
Okay, confess, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
Okay, I'm going to the... All right, Unclaimed. Okay, I like the title. I am lost in your gaze. A sea of blue and green and whirlless emotions. I will swim to your soul, drown in expressions of you. There is a fire within you, a contrast to the depths of your ocean. Let me wander the map, mark axes on your skin and conquer the world. A spark within me lights your forest, burn down the trees that guard your heart. I choke on misconceptions, long still with smoky expectations of what we're meant to be. Let's dance our way around the flames, tiptoe past sleeping giants of what it feels like to be loved. There is no need to hide anymore, and I will bury my words in your bones. End poem.
That was a fantastic read. And this is based on a quote. How was I to know? Oh, right. It's based on this contest. But no, this is it's fantastic, right? You know, it's ethereal. It takes you out of, your mind and takes you to a place where, you know, you can exist with this love where, you're sneaking past sleeping giants of what it feels to be loved. I thought it was just a beautiful, right? What did you think, Lauren?
I thought in the first stanza, for instance, she exemplified what most of us feel. And when we're with someone that we love, it's normally going to amplify any sense of beauty or intelligence in the other person that we're looking at. I mean, we tend to put them on a pedestal. We tend to think they're perfect, etc. And we yield completely to them. So in the words, I'm lost in your gaze, a sea of blue and green and wordless emotions, I will swim to your soul, drown in expressions of you. And I think we've all felt almost exactly that, although she words it beautifully. We see within that other person something that is so strong that it invites you to, I will swim to your soul. I will drown expressions of you. I will yield completely. I just love that. I love the whole poem, mind you, but that first stanza.
Absolutely, thank you, Bart. And Naomi, what did you think?
Sorry, I'm just coming back here. I kind of like drifted off to sleep. I love, my gracious soul, those last lines, and I will bury my words in your bones. Oh, my gracious, that line just there, bury my words in your bones, that's just amazing. But this was so beautifully written also, just an amazing, amazing write by a beautiful Blade here. You know, she writes so amazing. So just bravo on this write.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought this was beautiful. I like it's so well constructed from a technical point of view that each stanza can stand alone, but it tells a beautiful story. I agree with Laurent, the words, I will swim to your soul, drown in expressions of you. That is so beautifully expressed. A spark within me lights your forest, burns down the trees that guard your heart. There are some really exquisite metaphors in here, and the whole thing, which it really isn't that long. It's very economical, right? But it's so beautifully passionate and so classically written.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what did you think? Hello, Naomi? Oh, she dropped. And we have Frank. He's been on hold for 13 minutes. Frank, you're here.
Oh, no.
But I was observantly, I was listening there, if you could say. I was hearing. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. If I break up, great. If I break up, just tell me.
I will. Well, did you get a chance to hear that last read?
Yes, I was able to hear the read. I thought it was just a beautiful poem. You know, there is that sense of, you say lost in a gaze. You know, there's so much imagery here in that first line there. that just brings you, draws you into the poem. And there is exquisite lines throughout these four, you know, stanzas here. It just makes that quote, it makes it even more passionate. It's romantic, it's passionate, and I thought it's a very creative piece. I did enjoy this piece.
Thank you, Frank. That was a good comment. Would you mind reading?
Which one is it? When you want? Is it the Tomahawk one?
Yeah.
All right. If by chance I break up, just tell me, because the phone is just on that. It's not cooperating with me, but I'll go ahead and go. This is called Incendiary, and it goes like this. I walk the walk of prudence in my step. Nevermore or less do I give credence. A life guarded by past fiasco and folly, the romantic element, not depositive. But now, a spark, you a slight but potent flash, igniting my vestigial persona complex, awake, live, incendiary burst of love. Or from you, this cantonary ride of emotion. I'm aflame with the tonic-clonic passion, like a Huntington's patient, I can't stop. You have me gyrating, emotionally insane, this little, tiny spark of odorous madness, and then the backdrop of your kamikaze assault on me, leaving me hapless, hopeless, and hopeless, as in a critical mass of reckless passion and lush. The likes I never endured in all my crazy dreams, all-consuming, transmogrifying, and galvanized, enamorate of women are bewitching pyrokinesis. What once was a rook, now a pawn on your board, this firestorm may never quell my spirit of desire. Ergo, let us consummate this wanted rite of passage, you and I, in the very essence of incendiary love. We are now one with the plasmatic force of sensuality. I want nothing but to burn down into your corporeal being and die insanely, satiably happy in the poem.
That was a wonderful read, Frank. And you can feel the love in this poem, you know, the romance, the desire, the passion, you know, it's all alight in this poem. And, you know, I'm aflame with the tonic-clonic passion like a Huntington's patient. I can't stop. You have me gyrating, emotionally insane, this little tiny spark of adoresque madness. And then in the backdraft of your kamikaze assault on me, leaving me hapless, helpless, and hopeless in a critical mass of reckless passion and lust, the likes I've never endured in all my crazy dreams. I thought it was a brilliant poem. What did you think, Lauren? Hello, Lauren? Did we lose Lauren? No, it shows them here. Hello, Lauren. Well, I'll have to come back to him. Bobby, what did you think?
I enjoyed this a lot. The wordplay, the visual imagery, this is someone who is very facile with vocabulary and language and knows how to assemble phrases in such a way that they invoke such interesting combinations and visual imagery, igniting my vestigial persona complex, make alive incendiary burst of love, this cantonary ride of emotion. I'm a flame with the tonic, clonic passion, like Huntington's patient. I can't stop. You'll be gyrating, emotionally insane. The language is wonderful. It reminds me a little bit of E.J. Cool and the way the language is used. And there's a touch, a smidgen, a sampling of a little bit of a scientific language in here, which I always find provocative because it's a glimpse of the writer's intellect. And so I really enjoy this. I'm going to tuck this away with my favorites.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so Confess has dropped. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Bobby's comment there. This was a very creative, it was a very central piece. But I thought the key to this poem here was the metaphors here. You know, he took us on a journey there, very incendiary, but I really liked the way he threw in the imagery and the metaphors in his piece. You know, I've not seen a central piece with Kamikaze Assault. It's been a while. But he threw in some wonderful, wonderful, you know, words, you know, that it's not verbiage, it's beauty, I would say, you know, transmogrifying in Calvinized, you know, it's not usual that I hear these, you know, words in pyrokinesis. You know, he threw in a lot of words in here that really fit, you know, brilliantly, I think, to the poem, and he did a fantastic job.
Well said, thank you. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, so Argot Wings was going to call, and but no, she's just going to be on mute, I guess. So I'm going to take a look for her. Yeah, here we go. Hi, Argot Wings. I'm going to put you on hold.
Sounds good.
Very well, good.
Okay, so Lauren is gone. So, Bobby, can I get you to read this?
Lauren is back.
Oh, there he is. Hello, Lauren. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm going to push the button to let you know. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. All right. If you wouldn't mind, please, reading for Tila, Lauren.
Certainly. Tila offers us, need someone's sparks to start life all over again. The strange forest with its beauty, full of greens, tall ferns with its loops coiled, its triangle tips and each greeted light teeth-shaped fern below it, a colorful round stools all arranged for its guest, a cocoa soils, plenty all chocolatey, surrounded by ants, mud holes. You see busy life flourishing. Each scrape of leaf they find or any types of insects is a meal for them. Tall wild flowers with beautiful colors not seen before, all with its enchanting colors. Its seasons change from spring to winter, summer to autumn, years passing, as a life had its ups and down. Sometime no rain, many plants and animals were without food or water. There was a tiny sparks, just bearing those few mouths were hard to bear. But once a weather changed, snow bought life underneath the soil, which were hidden. That tiny sparks of dews quench the thirst of those roots which were waiting patiently, strike in spring with greenery all over. The forest life started normal as it did before. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lauren. And, you know, the rebirth of the forest after a fire is, you know, a powerful thing. I think she captured that beautifully in this. Excellent job. What did you think, Bobby?
I thought it was a very inspired and interesting interpretation of the prompt. Not something I would have thought of right away, but when I, upon reading it, it's so apropos and accurate. I mean, lodgepole pine cones will not germinate unless they have been through a forest fire. So that's quite true, that the life will not begin until there's a spark. So I think this is a wonderfully creative interpretation.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'm going to agree with those comments there. You know, I thought this was a wonderful write here by Peter there. She usually encompasses in her piece's nature. She does it in a fantastic manner. And this is one of her exceptional poems. You know, I was completely just amazed by this poem here, just by the simplicity, just by the message of the poem here, and just bringing the whole, you know, the whole embodiment of nature, or actually encompassing nature. This is just a beautiful poem there. I really did enjoy this piece here.
Great comment, thank you. And I'd like to welcome MJ to the show.
Hello.
Hello, MJ.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So obviously,
are you ready for me to comment on this one?
Sure. Yeah. Please.
I really liked this one. I didn't necessarily see the sensual aspect of it, except for there were parts in it where they talk about the tiny sparks of dew quench the thirst of those roots. It's almost like nature has to have its version of sex too. So it was a very tasteful observation of the different seasons and the years passing, and it was beautiful.
Well said, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind reading this for me, Bobby, please.
Refresh my screen. And who am I? Oh, there we are. TNT strikes again. Righty. We have TNT Strikes Again, Special News Bulletin by Lawrence 6-7. Ringo, Butch, and Larry, the terrible, notorious trio labeled TNT, have struck again. Reports are coming in as we speak. They have been wreaking havoc everywhere they are seen. According to the confirmed reports, they have been up to no good. One reliable witness reported that at 3 a.m. she heard what she thought was a herd of wild buffalo. She immediately sought refuge under her bed until the buffalo had done their damage. When she emerged, obviously distraught, what she saw was incredible. Her curtains, couch, and love seat were torn to shambles, and in the kitchen it looked as if a Category 4 tornado had gone through. The public is scared shitless. If you see the terrible, notorious trio, you are advised to call authorities. You are not to try and apprehend them. We repeat, do not try to stop them, as they will mesmerize you with their cuteness. That's how they get you. They are pictured here doing their diabolical cuteness trick. Beware. This has been a special news bulletin from the warped mind of one Lawrence 6-7 poet and kitty owner. We now return you to your all poetry addiction. And poem.
I like that. That was fun. you know, you can see these three terrorizing the town and the residents being scared shitless. But if you see this terrible, notorious trio, you are advised to call authorities. You are not to try and apprehend them. We repeat, do not try to stop them, as they will mesmerize you with their cuteness. That's how they get you. I loved it. Excellent read, Bobby. Fantastic, right? And Frank, what did you think?
I really like this whole notion of his creative aspect of this poem. I really like the humor here. you know, the whole notion of, you know, we are so obsessed with news, you know, whether it's on the telly, on the radio, or on the phone nowadays, we're very much obsessed with you know, just learning. We're very inquisitive. And I thought this poem really did bring up a little bit of those elements there, you know, giving us the elements of what was, you know, bits of, you know, the news, the details here. But I like the way he ended up with a special bulletin there, you know, because it almost felt that it was a special bulletin there for me. I thought it was a very creative. I give him props for this piece here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Frank. And MJ, what did you think?
Oh, this was adorable. I just am so appreciative of people who can write humor and do it just well. it was cute. It was humorous. It was, I love the last line, return you to your all poetry addiction, because you know we're all here because of that.
Right.
So an awesome write.
Great comment. Thank you, MJ. MJ, do you have a poem to post?
I do. I put it in the on the board.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next write here. And Frank, if you don't mind, please.
Is it up on the...
No, not yet. Just copying it now. Pasting it. There we go.
All right. This is a piece by Talia. It's called Magical, and it goes like this. Accidentally, we bumped into each other on the dance floor. Oh, yes, it was the sound of Kenny Rogers that actually explained everything. And so you took my hand and asked me to dance. Everything else was history. I was mesmerized. It was about everything about you. Your smell, your touch, your smile had me under your spell. I believe this was the most exciting time in my life. It was so exhilarating, like a scene from a movie. I never felt like this before. Where did you appear from and into my arms? It's like magic, the most magnificent dance I have ever had. We made magic on the dance floor. All eyes were on us. This must have been a dream. We will dance the night away because I sure don't want this night to end. In the poem.
Beautiful read, Frank. But this is a fantastic write, you know. She really takes you under the spell of being hypnotized by this person and losing yourself on the dance floor. I thought it was just beautiful. What did you think, Bobby? Oh, Bobby's gone. Frank, sorry. MJ, what did you think?
Hi, sorry. I thought this was sweet and dreamy. That is the word I would probably use for it. It says magical, and that definitely fits it as well. But the dreamy is what I really got from that. I loved it. I'm going to mute now.
Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I thought the poem really, you know, was magical. You know, it was central as well, of course. But it brought the elements of, you know, the whole notion of Kenny Rogers really was what I felt, that little vibe there throughout the poem. I almost felt it was like a central waltz, you know, from the top, you know, from the beginning to end. And I like a little bit of the romanticism as well in this piece here. You know, he says, we will dance this night away because I sure don't want this night to end. That's not really poetic, but it's very romantic. And I thought the poem overall had all three of those elements.
Absolutely, thank you. And so, MJ, are you Arget Wings?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I see. I'm going to post your poem.
Okay.
And thank you for taking the time to call in.
Of course.
Okay, anytime you're ready.
Okay. It's called Ambrosia Junkie. I'm sure there have been many whose thighs your charms have unlocked. Countless inches of cream and caramel skin you've explored before tasting mine. Forecasting amnesia in your future. I've laced my milk with poison, just enough to get you hooked. But if you pray for an overdose. I won't deny you. Worship me in the vermilion and lavender of our sunrise addictions. I'll play doctor to your ailing lungs on early September mornings. My shattered breath as antidote, breathe in my bliss with the stars. Forget all yesterdays before me, inside the delirium of our tangled dawn. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful write. You know, you can feel the love and the passion that you have for this person, you know, regardless of how many people they've been with before they got to you. I thought it was just a fantastic poem. Excellently read. Beautiful read and fabulous write.
Thank you.
What did you think, Frank? You bet.
Yes, I thought, first of all, I thought it was an excellent read. I thought it was I thought it was a central piece, but I thought it was also romantic. You brought in these metaphors here. First of all, the whole notion of ambrosial junkie was something very unusual for me to come across. But I really liked the way you just laced the poem here with such incredible metaphors here. And I like the creativity aspect in this piece here, because you really did use some lines in here that were very, very much poetic. And I thought the piece, you know, was very befitting for the prompt itself. I really enjoy Neruda. And I think you did a fantastic job inspired by this particular poem.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, it's got to be good when Frank's inspired.
Oh, well, I've got to be inspired by something lately there now, Gray.
Yeah.
Because it's cold outside.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to post the next link, and this is by Chinaski, and he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play this. There's that. Here comes the SoundCloud. There we go.
Perfumed billow and perfect pirouettes, horizons stood in bright slivers of shut-in eyelids, emeralds of lush forest stood in silence, kissed in isolation through screens as windows pierce moons into liquid, tracing porcelain contours, and the artist creating a masterpiece with unrelenting gaze. The mouth blooms sharp cutting edges, years reoccurring tedious nights, blowing on small embers into delicate boxes, ravishing thirsty spirits, spheres becoming weak, useless ornaments, unleashing the caged beast locked in abandoned body bouquets into spring ground, soft whispers over smooth shoulders, wildfires burning, delirious desire, lost uncontrolled weak ashes, picking up pace in a long string of aged films, tossed upon empty Savoy cinemas. Shooting stars, unreachable under rusted limb gates, looking glass Indian rugs. Fruit harvest below a kingdom empire, arts, beauty leaps in recitals, piercing my ear with pursed petal confessions, button sleep surrounding us like gloves, moist dissolving summer, heat leaking through butterfly hinges, sun baking, tin roof, rendezvous, spreading swaying flame.
Well, I thought you had a beautiful delivery there. It was well presented, and I like kissing isolation through screens as windows pierce moons into liquid, tracing porcelain contours, an artist creating a masterpiece with unrelenting gaze. Wow, excellent imagery. What did you think, Frank?
Well, yeah, I've come across one of his poems there, but this is no exception. He always brings just very much colorful metaphors, you know, to his poetry. And I like the way he just uses, you know, that, you know, the notion of what he's, you know, he starts off with the perfume, you know, billowing perfect pirouettes, and he goes on to talk about, you know, kissing isolation, but he throws in the moons There is so much wonderful imagery in this poem here. You know, it's very colorful, and he has a remarkable ability to be able to write anything in his style, and still, you know, it ends up to be a remarkable poem.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Frank. And Confess, what
You're
did
welcome.
You think?
I'll confess it back.
Let me just see here.
Is it all goat?
Yeah. Argot wings.
Yeah, what? And she must have dropped
did
as well.
Did she step away?
Nope, I'm here.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry, I have a kids show on. I have to mute, and then I have to unmute me.
Right.
it was a he does brevity, or not brevity, abstract really well. And some people can, but some people, abstract can only be done in very small brevities. And he does abstract well in longer poems, and it's very interesting. I would almost prefer that the music on his thing was slightly quieter so I could hear his voice more, because it's great to be able to hear it in the writer's words, but I want to hear it better. My favorite part was, beauty leaps and recitals, piercing my ear with pursed petal confessions. I love that little stanza there. It's just beautiful.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to read the next one. This is by Abyss, and it's called Gasoline to My Fire. The glass, gasoline to my fire, who'd have thought I could feel such desire? Who'd have thought the word you utter would to my heart surely flutter and stay? An ember of your essence spreading so within your presence, warming me from the inside out. Your body, a comfort from without. And your eyes, they shoot sparks after sparks, so perfectly aimed at my heart. I see them give and devour, take what I have, but return a whole shower, gasoline to my fire. Oh, the way you bring me higher. End the poem. And that was a wonderful write. You know, you can see him being ignited by the presence of this person and the passion that he feels within. You know, I thought it was just beautiful, that beautiful read. Excellent write, I mean. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I agree. You know, I thought the title would be fitting for this poem here, because you know, it really ignited the poem there, you know, the gasoline to my fire. You know, it's a wonderful, really, what's enveloping in this poem here, in the imagery here. It's wonderful when you think about describing that person as, you know, as fuel, as fire, gasoline, or whatever, you know, description be used. And I thought the poet did a wonderful job here of using that metaphor there of the gasoline. You know, and it really ignited the poem there, and I thought it was just a remarkable write. I really like the embodiment there of the fire, the gasoline, in the special way, of course.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Frank. And Confess, what are your thoughts?
Argo, MJ,
yeah,
is that who you're?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to tell you that.
That's okay. I'll just be referred to as Confess for today. I had a very nice flow to it. I like the things you guys have already said, but something that I noticed that I really liked was the way they broke up the stanzas and had the real short, the wood to my heart surely flutter and stay an ember of your essence. And then the next one with the your body a comfort from without, and your eyes. It just, it pulls to that each section, and it brings the whole thing together and gives it a bit of power. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Wonderful comment. Mm-hmm. Okay, Frank, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Do you have, let me refresh. All right. Hmm? Is it Marius?
Yes.
All right. It goes like this. You are. Sometimes you are a wild hurricane. Sometimes a gentle breeze. Sometimes a raging fire. Sometimes a flickering candle. Sometimes you are a snowstorm. Sometimes just a fragile snowdrop. Sometimes a towering fir tree. Sometimes a delicate poppy flower. Sometimes the darkest night. Sometimes the brightest sunrise. You are always you, the one that I love. End of poem.
I thought that was a beautiful description of his, you know, partner. I thought it was just a fantastic delivery of sometimes, you know, that doesn't, even though it's repeated so often, it doesn't take anything away from the poem, which is interesting for sure. What did you think, Argot?
You know, these types where you start with the same word can be done, they're very interesting, they can be done well. And this is one of those times, I've already used the word dreamy, but it almost has that sense where you're just kind of wistful. Sometimes you are a wild hurricane, sometimes a gentle breeze, and the raging fire, and it just, it has that kind of almost ethereal light flow to it that is someone dreaming of, well, the beautiful person that they're talking about, obviously, but all of their qualities and the possibilities of those qualities, and it's lovely.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, MJ. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Marius has a wonderful, you know, he has a wonderful ability of writing romance pieces, you know, in particular, because they are of reference to his wife, from what I've learned throughout, you know, the time. And I like the way he makes a comparison, you know, the comparison here to her, you know, describing her in certain, you know, forms there, to the breeze, to the fire, candle, snowstorm, etc. I think that's very endearing, you know, as a man, I could think that romance in itself, when it's really inspired by, you know, the truest love that you have, it becomes, you know, it becomes a wildfire, you know, in I think this poem really speaks about, you know, his not only his relationship, but the duration relationship from past to present, I would say.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, MJ, I have the next write-up, if you don't mind.
Definitely. I will go in there. Okay. From a husband in the spirit world to his bride still on earth. Darling, I am here inside of you. Look on your face, though it is so blue. I am so close, you feel me breathe. Come closer, love, don't disagree. I embrace, look through your eyes, searching for heaven in the sky. For love, you know, it is so true. Darling, I am right here with you. Not in the clouds or with a breeze, not on a voyage across the seas, not at a game or a job this time. I am inside, you are sublime. Times in the past, while outside, within you, love, I would abide. Fleeting moments close to you, from outside in, closer we grew. Now inside out is where I be, feeling your heart inside, you see. The greatest journey I have seen, back to the world of in-between. Not in our marriage, yet not gone, though left alone to carry on. Life is a journey, and it may seem that I am gone, it was a dream. But by your side we carry on, from a time once upon. I left your world from here I see, your beauty shines, I guarantee. I love you more. So my darling, listen to your mind. Blend with our thoughts of every kind. There you will find our love will show. The space between we can still grow. We'll be waiting till you are free, and you can be inside of me. End poem.
Well, that was a heart-wrenching poem, you know, seeing the spirit talk to his wife on earth. I thought it was just an excellent journey through that whole relationship and the love therein. Just a wonderful job. What did you think, Frank?
Well, I thought this piece was, I was breathless with this piece here. Really, who could not relate to this, you know, in one way or the other? No, it really has to be a really a difficult time to, you know, when you lose a loved one, you know, and you, you know, whether it's in death or whether it's, you know, the end of a relationship or marriage, to hold on to memories are always the one thing that are always painful to let go. But I think here, you know, although there is that pain in this poem here, there is that sense of finding comfort, you know, in that, you know, memory. And I think that she did a fantastic job here of just making this, captivating us with this poem here. I was completely just speechless with this poem. It was remarkable.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next write. This is by Mermaid, and it's called Fire Extraordinaire by Crafty Mermaid. California dreaming, embers floating lighter than air. Take my mind, run with me, buy an Italian wine, sporting a fragrant bouquet, throwing petals against the wind. I do in a multitude of dialects. The mamas and papas were on fire. One note became a spark, an ember, a superstar, a wildfire extraordinaire burning down the house. End poem. I thought that was a touching tribute to the mamas and the papas, you know. They really did ignite when they sparked. And I thought it was just excellent, right? What did you think, Greg?
Yes, I agree. I thought it had the elements of that, of an homage as well. You know, I like the title there, you know, Eight Fire Extraordinary. You know, this is really, you know, it's something like a psychedelic, you know, time. You know, we think about, you know, that age of the 60s. You know, I wasn't around that time, but certainly can understand what it must have been. I think every one of our, you know, era, you know, has something that, you know, that we cling on to as a memory. And I think that if this was a memory here of, you know, an inspiration by the mamas and the papas, I think she did a wonderful job there in this.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And MJ, what did you think?
This is very nice. My favorite parts were the take my hand, run with me, and that whole building up to the ending with the an ember, a superstar, wildfire extraordinaire burning down the house. It definitely reminds me of that whole, like, I think someone said the 60s, right? That's what I envision.
Yeah.
when I think of the 60s. I love the picture that goes with it. I definitely enjoyed that.
Thank you, MJ. And Frank, can you read for me, please?
What is the poem? I have to refresh.
It's by Blue Harrison.
Let me see. Just bear with me. My phone is just terrible on me. I'm going to be pretty slow here, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to read this, you know, from, you know, the next poem here. The phone somehow is just not cooperating with me.
Okay, we'll come back to you. MJ, would you mind reading that for me?
Sure. Hold on, let me...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is untitled, or... I will bleed, comfort zone ill at ease. Your stain floods my sense of known. And there's blame, and there's owned. But you've punctured an artery, so I sip from this crystal stem. Let us address the mayhem together, because I can't be alone. with my scars, acknowledging my skies and gray fortress. Tower, tower, stab unto heaven, come. Gather my silk to your spool, spin. Spin what was lost, you take in as mist. Seek ravens that swirl neath bared limbs. Keep ribbons perfumed and wound round envelopes, cradling words intimate. You to me, Sanskrit, and all the world can want. Send tendrils out, ink black and oblivious, as to how sacred fires start. And poem.
That was a wonderful read. And you can feel the passion in this, you know, the desire to be with that person is palpable in this, right? Seek ravens what swirl beneath bared limbs, keep ribbons perfumed and wound round envelopes, cradling words intimate, you and me, Sanskrit. And that was just fantastic, right? What did you think, Frank?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. You know, that whole notion there, if I will bleed, at the title, we certainly felt in this poem here. You know, I think solitude is also one of these factors that really drives us to, you know, our emotions, our thoughts, and in the end, pin poems like this. I really like the notion here of the seek the ravens as well. You know, there's wonderful, colorful, just like of Shinasky's piece. Yeah, there's some colorful imagery in this poem here that really, I thought, really were great and worked well with the prompt that's at the bottom there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. And MJ,
oh,
what did you think of the poem that you read?
I was just thinking, it has almost a searing feel to it. It punctures through everything around and just kind of cuts. And that's perfect for fire because, you know, it sears everything around it. Cuts through to what's important or, you know, what's fun.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Confess. I mean, sorry, MJ.
Okay. It's okay.
Was there someone else with us as well? I don't know if there was another person that was with us.
No, I keep thinking Confess is still on, but she's not.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was. I can read this one now, if you want. I can read this one here.
Sure.
By Blue Wright 76, right? Eyes get glazed.
Yeah.
All right. If I miss a word here, just mind it that it's at this hour here. But I'll give it a stab.
Yeah.
Here we go. Eyes glazed. How sane when the fire blazed into existence, to pledge life's gems on a desolate dream. Fame or power, money or craze, him or her, them who censor, or drives you honor bound to those dreamy heights, reaching for the apple's eyes, stars and eyes glazed, who laid the snare thither, but herself in passion's fog, weave the web on fine oral scapes, hunted became the hunter. Any minute now, success turned hopes on red blood here. May a hunter hope to rejoice at the chalice, ambitions at what cost, equations balanced, didn't stoop to think, when the seed was sown as the spark was lit, burnt along. Yet mist now truly desolate, sands the insane water flows, where hot blood did thirsty days, drunk me whole. Burning years singed me true, celebrated sweat, how apples do they fall when gravity calls, now I fear, sane and wise, life hope scarce, space hath loomed, suck me and gravity gone, vacuum hurts more, wait for a spark, to burn again, elements combust, name me, spirit, didn't take now. End of poem.
Wow, that was an interesting take on the prompt. You know, it's fantastically worded and it has an excellent flow to it. You really did a great job reading it, Frank. But how sane
from
the fireplace in the distance to pledge life's gems on a desolate dream. Fame or power, money or trace, him or her, them who censor, what drives you, honor bound to those dreamy heights. Just a beautiful ride. What did you think, MJ?
I love the whole premise of the hunted, or wait, where is it?
Yeah.
The hunted becoming the hunter, and is just, and that it kind of flows with that concept throughout it, and then in the end where it says, "Now I fear, when gravity calls, now I fear, sane and wise, and naive hope scarce." It's just a like you said, it was, or one, like one of you said, it was it had a very nice flow to it, and I like that they stuck with that throughout. It was beautifully done.
Great comment, thank you, MJ. Mm-hmm. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'm going to agree with what was said here by MJ. I really like the notion there of the hunter becoming, you know, the hunter become the hunter. And I like the way it began there with the fire blazing into existence. There is very much a sense of admission, you know, recognition in those lines, the first stanza there. But I also like the wordplay in this poem here and how it ultimately ends there with that, name me spirit, they know. There is a sense of, I'm looking down at the author here, there is that spiritual sense there of Hinduism in this poem here. So I really thought this poem really encompassed the prompt very well.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so this next poem is called Night of Lapis by Cassia F. I saw you, naked and empty. It rained that day. I walked by. You were soaking wet, curled in fetal position. I wasn't sure if tears were the rain or your pain. My hair a mess, mascara around my face. I kneeled down to lift your face. Stranger in disguise on this rainy night stole my heart. Spelling brown eyes looked back at me. My body shook. Energy flew throughout my spine. And I just knew he was mine. He held out his hand, so much pain I felt. I told him to hold on to my arm. He was weak. He used all his strength. On his feet he stood. Drunk from my touch, he closed his eyes to sober up. Feeling electric shock as my hand swiped his hair. He was a drunken man in love. As I stood there in the rain, kissing his lips like I was insane. I felt my heart beat inside my veins, knowing my life won't be the same. I didn't even know his name. End poem. And in her author's notes, she says, thank you very much for the contest. My imagination took me into a place where one meets the other's face. And I thought you captured that brilliantly, you know, two strangers meeting and just instantly having that connection of love and desire and passion. Even though he's drunk and cuddled over, crying in the rain. But no, I thought it was just an excellent write. What did you think, Frank?
Well, first of all, I was completely just drawn by the title there, The Night of Lapis, you know. But it completely just, you know, threw me off in the beginning. But then when I started seeing the poem, in the content of the poem, and how she went into describe this encounter here and this person, the individual, you know, it really does, you know, make you think, you know, when, you know, as a man, you know, how, you know, a person, a woman, you know, how much they would, you know, react, you know. I guess a man as well to a woman to some certain extent, you know, being inebriated, you know. And just wondering what would that experience be, even though it's with your lover, so be it, or even with a complete stranger, you know, just that whole notion, the curiosity that we have as humans, you know, it just made me think about that. And I see that it's, she said it took her imagination to a place where one meets the other's face. So it's really one of these type of, you know, great, one of these encounters, you know, you think about, and I'm certainly all of us have gone through. You know, we've seen someone out there, you know, a stranger who we perhaps are attracted to in one way or the other, and yet we wonder, you know, the what if, or the curiosity takes us to, perhaps. Yeah. So it's an interesting spin, I would say.
Absolutely. And MJ, what did you think?
I like the idea of the whole love at first sight, and the fact that he's a complete mess, but, you know, it's raining, and she's talking about that she's a complete mess, too.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me like she was saying that he was drunk on her. And
well, that's true.
She a drunk from my touch. He was a drunken man in love. Like, he's drunk on love, maybe? That was very sweet. I really liked it.
Yeah. That was a great comment. Thank you, MJ. Okay, so I'm going to post a poem here. And I'll give this a read. This is called Love Entwined. Gazing into her milky way, my ocean deep starts to sway. I call to her there, through the stars we share. Forever I plead, drink my need, taste my want, with the mystery you flaunt. Evaporate me into your mist, evermore I will not resist. Feel me as I look up and wish, ethereal in love, you shine, my bliss. No cosmic force could ever part our love entwined from the start. End poem. And that was by me, Gray Smith.
Yeah,
what did
you think? I was going to say. Oh, yes. I wasn't even expecting this poem of yours, but it was first of all, it's a delight to hear you. I know you don't post much of your poetry on your shows there. Perhaps you should more. This is really an excellent write. I mean, I really like it. You know, it really doesn't have that many lines, and it doesn't need to be added any more than the lines you have there. You know, they're written like in couplets there. But I like the way you really, you know, what love, you know, what it grants, what it bestows, what it gives you, the way you describe the love that, you know, that you are describing is a natural beauty in itself. It's a love that comes, you know, in its natural and most purest form. And I like the fact you ended there with our love entwined from the start. You know, type of love like this, you know, whether or not it's, you know, for a period of time or it's forever, it's worth the while keeping. You know, you can never know what's going to happen in the future. But when you do experience this and that person does reciprocate, then that's the beauty there. I think you did a wonderful job with this poem.
Great comment. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And MJ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. First of all, that you should post your poetry on your shows. I mean, this is awesome.
Yeah.
but I loved it. It feels tender and eternal. Like someone is just there and it's never going to end, and there is a beauty and a safety and a just like no cosmic force could ever part. that's a great way to put it, and it's something sensual about it, but it's also romantic, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Have a great night.
It's always a pleasure, my friend.
You too.
Always a pleasure. When I can, of course, it's always a pleasure. Take care, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Whatever.
Good
you,
night,
take
guys.
Care. And stay safe. It's supposed to be cold. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.